It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, November the 5th, and we're back live from beautiful Austin, Texas. And our Melissa, the Accomplice Entertainment producer of this program, is here with us to make the show run. And we have another great show in store for you. This evening's show, we have a little bit of a change from what I said we were going to have when we last had the show last week. And it's been a program change. So tonight, I will be the main guest. And with all that's been happening in the news lately, I will be discussing the growing power of women's voices in speaking out against sexual harassment and how this is beneficial for all of us. And then later in the show, Laura Galazunas will be reporting in about Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and the retirement community there. And I think that Laura will also weigh in on this issue of sexual harassment, and she can let us know what's happening in Mexico with regards to this topic. And then later on in the program, we will top off the show with the great lead guitarist, Betty Navas, who will be calling in from Los Angeles, California, and we'll be playing some of her original music. I want to mention, you know, once again, we have thoughts and prayers to send out to the community. And this time, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and their families of the shooting that occurred today at a church just south of San Antonio, Texas, the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. So we're keeping that town and its people in our hearts this evening. All right. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email just email me. Don't tweet. Email your questions to me, and I will read them on the air. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. We used to have the questions come through Twitter, but I've noticed that it's a little slower, and sometimes they arrive too late. So send it via email. That's the best way. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And the podcast will be posted later tonight, along with all of the website link give on the program. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And if you're interested in hearing previous programs or reading information from previous programs, reading any of my blogs in Thrive Global or Huffington Post or watching videos of some of our interviews or finding out about my upcoming book or my online conferencing, there's a whole lot. You can go to the one-stop shop, my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and also follow me on Facebook for updates about any of those things at my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And for previews about my upcoming book, go to The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel on Facebook. And to hear any of the previous shows that we have done here on Blog Talk Radio, you can find all of those podcasts at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. All right. If this is the first time that you're tuning in, Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a licensed originally from New York City, and I practice here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages, but my specialty for many years, ever since graduate school, has been working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past few years, I've also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, I work in my office in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center called Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website, heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me, if you have any questions or comments or some information that you think would be helpful, you can email me at drmara@drmaracarpell.com, or you can go through my website, drmaracarpell.com, or you can call me at 512-626-6973. That's 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched-Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Lost, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's rdevere, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, we're going to take a brief break, play a couple of our sponsors' commercials, and then we'll be back to talk about sexual harassment, and we have Lorigay Lazunas coming up a little bit later, and Betty Nava playing some music. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Carpell will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell and your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpell.com. And before I launch into my discussion, just a reminder that whenever we have a guest here in Austin, live in the studio, we videotape the interview. So if you're interested in seeing some of the interviews that we have done, and you get to see the person and what they look like, and sometimes you get a little bit more out of the interview, check it out on my website, Dr. and click on videos. And also, I have another blog coming out this week in ThriveGlobal.com, Arianna Huffington's new online wellness magazine. And when that is published, I will be posting it on my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, also on my book Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Carpel, and you will be able to find that and all of my other blogs on my website by clicking on blogs or publications. And I had one recently, so this is, that was just a couple of, 2-3 weeks ago, so you can read that one on my website as well. And there are many other things going on, and the book is moving along towards publication, and there's a lot of other happenings. And again, you can find that all at my website, drmaracartel.com. All right. So before I dive into this really intense discussion about sexual harassment and women's voices, I feel that it's really important to say that this discussion is not meant to be negative. I really try, you know, on, very hard on this program and in my blog to transform even negative situations into something positive that we can take from it, because there is always another side to the situation. And if you're just bombarded with negative, 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 like we hear on the news, we feel helpless and we start to just kind of tune everything out. And that's not the goal of this. This is really about bringing it into the light. And it's really quite a positive thing that we are discussing it and that it's coming out into the light. And people are coming out and speaking about what has happened over the past several years, decades, that really they were afraid to speak about for very real reasons. There were a lot of consequences. And now that there are people speaking out, it makes it easier for more people to speak out. And when things come into the light, that's how we can transform it. That's how we can make a change. If everything is hidden in the darkness, then no changes can be made. So what we see in the light may not be so great. It may feel really negative, but bringing it into the light is really helping to change this culture where harassment has been an acceptable given, especially of being a woman. I know it does sometimes happen to men. We did recently hear about Kevin Spacey. Males have accused him. And we have heard, some people have told me that there have been women that have sexually harassed them. But the bulk of the problem has really been men harassing women. That's just the way that it has been. Women are not in a position of power in this society, and men have usually been the bosses. And sexual harassment is really about power. It's not about sex. It's really about power. And so, you know, and it really has been a given. You know, women grow up believing that that's just how it is, that men will say and do things that make us feel uncomfortable. And especially as women have entered the workforce, women have taken it as a given that at jobs, especially jobs where there are mostly men, and the women have broken into positions where that have been traditionally male, that men will say and do things that make them uncomfortable or even put them in compromising positions. And it's really only been recently that people have given it a name of sexual harassment. And before that, it really was just the way it was. But even after having this name, women have been afraid to speak about it because of the consequences of that. So again, this is not a bad negative topic. It's really positive. I'm going to talk about some of the negative issues, but with the positive goal of bringing it into the light and helping us to become more empowered by it. And I think that this really helps men a lot as well, because there are a lot of men who really don't know what to do when they see it going on, or just feel very confused about whether they'll be accused of sexual harassment if they don't feel that they're engaging in that. So I think that when things become clearer, it really helps everybody. In addition, and I'll get into this a little bit more, you know, it's really an economic issue for women and for their families. So women are in the workforce, moving their way up, trying to follow their dream very often for a career that they've always wanted to be in. Very frequently, this means more and more income. And also for women in positions where they just really have to work because they're taking care of the family, they might be a single mother, or they need two incomes in their family. And they may not be working at a job that is their dreams, but they really have to work and they really need that check. And when they are affected by sexual harassment, it has an economic effect on them and on their families, on their children, on their, even if they're married, on their husbands. This really affects everybody. Okay, so having said that, and again, I want to say there's a lot of stress in our lives made, you know, increased by things that are going on in the world, like these mass shootings that I talked about that happened just today, and women and men coming to terms with harassment that has occurred in a very deep, systematic level, as well as in our own lives. And, you know, stress that might include caregiving for a loved one or illness or financial problems. So whatever it is, we all have to find a way to find a place of peace within ourselves. And that's really important to build resilience. So no matter what is happening in our lives, if we can find a way to find that place of peace within ourselves, then we have a better chance of making good choices about how to respond in situations and how to make changes. And it gives us the strength to make the important changes in our own lives and in the world. And it helps to prevent actual health issues related to stress. So, you know, some of the practices that I've talked about here on the show and previous programs and in my blogs, as well as what many of my guests have spoken about, such as meditation, yoga, exercise, getting enough sleep, eating the right food, as well as looking at the things that we say to ourselves about ourselves, all have an impact in how we deal with these issues. And it's really important to find joy and vitality in our lives, no matter what is happening in our lives. And again, before I go on to discuss this kind of disturbing issue, let's remember what one of my favorite authors, Dr. Jack Kornfield, reminds us of in his writing, that no one can imprison your spirit. So if we stand back and observe our life from a place of calm, loving awareness, rather than being immersed in the drama of it, we can make decisions about how to deal with these kind of difficult situations. And in our own life and in being part of the movement to change it in the world and in our country. And we will be able to do this without feeling depressed or stressed out. And we can do it from a place of accepting what is and then peacefully, tirelessly working to make a real change. So keep remembering to breathe and focus on your breath. And as Kornfield says in the title of his new book, there is no time like the present. Let's stay present here. So having said that, I'm going to pull apart this issue of harassment a little at a time. And then Laura Gilazunis will join us to talk about her experience of how this appears in Mexico. Start with a very recent poll that was done and an article written by Claire Zillman in October. And if you've been on any sort of social media in the past few weeks, then you know of the hashtag MeToo that exploded on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And that was after actress Alyssa Milano called for women to use it as a way to illustrate the scope of sexual harassment and sexual assault in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal. So she had felt that, and I think that I think it really worked, that if people got to see how many other people out there had been affected by either sexual harassment or sexual assault, then they would be brave enough to speak out about their own situation. And the more that people speak out, the greater power there is in numbers. And as a result of this hashtag MeToo, women and some men as well flooded social media with this hashtag. And at times, it was to talk about instances where they were actually sexually abused or raped. But many talked about harassment, especially in the workplace. And it became evident that the reason why this hashtag resonated with so many people was because of how epidemic the issue of sexual harassment is in the workplace. And in a poll that was done, it found that more than half of all American women, let me look to see this poll. The poll was done, okay, ABC News Washington poll that came out in mid-October after the MeToo hashtag came out. And it found that more than half of all American women, that's 54%, experience unwanted and inappropriate sexual advances at some point in their life. Honestly, I don't believe that statistic. I think it's more like 95%, because I really don't know a single woman, one woman, who does not have a story. It could be, I'm not saying that every woman has been forcefully harassed or even abused. I don't know that every woman has been in a situation where it was where she was forced to listen to harassment and put up with it, or else she would be fired. I can't say that, but I can say that every single woman that I know has experienced this. And from the reports of people on social media, reports of other women on social media, they have all been consistent in that they don't know anybody who has not in some way experienced sexual harassment. But according to the poll, it was 54%, which is still pretty high. 30% of women have endured such behavior from male colleagues, according to that poll, and 25% identified men with sway over the careers as the culprit. So of those 30% of women who said that their male colleagues harassed them, 25% said that their colleagues who harassed them were actually supervisors or in positions of power over their career. And again, I think that poll really underreports what the reality. That particular poll found that all told, 33 million U.S. women have been sexually harassed and 14 million sexually abused in work-related episodes, meaning that they have been touched, at the very least, or raped in a workplace episode. And nearly all women, who 95% of those women report that the male perpetrators of these types of abuse went unpunished. So in these work-related episodes, 95% said that the men who perpetrated this went unpunished. So the poll did show some promising results, and that was that 75% of Americans call workplace sexual harassment a problem. So that's a good thing, because if people don't think it's a problem, then they don't really feel any motivation to change it. 64% said it was a serious, and that was an increase of 17 percentage points in a similar poll that was done in 2011. But in spite of this increased awareness, the poll found that sexual harassment in the workplace remains prevalent. Okay, so another article was written by Quentin Futrell and talking about the more insidious overlooked side of sexual harassment. So here are some definitions that might be clarifying. So sexual harassment doesn't have to involve physical overtures. It can be a comment about clothing, the way you say something, or even a look. Doesn't have to be verbal or physical. It could be the way that someone looks or the way that their tone in saying something. So, for example, if somebody stares at you from across the room in a way that feels very invasive and is unwanted, that could be a form of sexual harassment. The legal requirements for sexual harassment are clear, but what constitutes sexual harassment may be less clear for the perpetrators as well as for the victims. So let me go unpack this article. So the latest allegations of sexual harassment in the entertainment business by Anna Graham Hunter in The Hollywood Reporter outlined some graphic comments Dustin Hoffman made in 1985 while he was filming Death of a Salesman. Graham Hunter, who was 17 at the time, said that he asked her about her sex life and made aggressive jokes of a sexual nature. So those are considered a no-no for anyone in a position of power in the workplace. So that is the deciding factor, is that position of power. And he also allegedly grabbed her from behind. It could be a look, how long we look and the way we look at a coworker. It could be the way we say something to a colleague. It could set in a certain inflection. It could cross the line. And that was stated by Denise Dudley, author of the book, Work It, Get In, Get Noticed, Get Promoted. So the movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's alleged actions involved lunges and physical intimidation, in addition to violent sexual assault. But even a lingering hug or a light affectionate touch on the arm could be regarded as sexual harassment. So it depends on the nature of it. So if it was persistent and designed to make someone feel uncomfortable, or if it involved unwelcome sexual overtures, those are the key factors. So if it makes someone feel uncomfortable, if it's designed to make someone feel uncomfortable, showing your power over someone, or if it involves unwelcome sexual overtures from a person in power, someone who has some sort of power over you. And in the workplace, that would be a supervisor. Or it could be the way that something's said to a colleague. For example, you look really good in red. Sounds like an innocuous compliment, but if it's said with a certain inflection, it could cross the line. Like, you look really good in red. I guess that would be the way that that could be sexual harassment. The term sexual harassment wasn't used regularly until around 1975. And that was when a laboratory worker, Carmita Wood, quit her job after alleging that her supervisor made advances. And there's still a psychotherapist in California states, her name is Fran Walters, she states there is so much shame and humiliation attached to being a victim, it's really worth examining what constitutes sexual harassment. So sexual harassment is generally not about sex. It's about control and power and overpowering a weaker person in order to validate and puff up one's own grandiosity. Any act such as this that makes you feel uncomfortable should be documented with a time, date, and location. So if that happens to you, you need to document it. And intention is a game changer. A lot of the conversation has been about blatantly obvious sexual harassment, like getting grabbed in the elevator or whistled at in the parking lot or the parking garage, but it fails to discuss some really subtle things that are much more difficult to untangle, such as compliments that are sometimes completely innocent and sincere and at other times are simply couched, come on. But one look or comment made is typically not enough, so according to the law. Okay, so legally speaking, winking, staring, or comments about someone's body can rise to the level of harassment if they are repeated and unwelcome and create a hostile work environment. Be unwelcome, and that can shift from person to person. For one person, it's unwelcome, and for another person, it's not. All right. So if it's unwelcome, this type of harassment, which may seem very innocuous, is typically designed to make someone feel small and worse, could continue for years because it exists just below the surface. So if you're in a work setting and somebody senior to you always winks at you and makes comments that feel kind of strange, makes you feel like, ooh, I need to go home and take a shower. If that's done over and over again, it can make the work environment extremely uncomfortable to work in. And that is a large part of the goal of sexual harassment. And let me just jump down there to the bottom of this article. So, all right. So I want to talk a little bit about why people don't report it. So the most difficult part, people who are sexually harassed may feel that they're making a fuss over something that doesn't seem like a big deal. So if somebody just winks at you or tells you you look very nice in what you're wearing, or they touch you on the shoulder, to other people, that may not seem like a big deal, but if it's meant to make you feel less powerful and put you in your place, make you uncomfortable, then that's harassment. If it gives you the creeps and it's done over and over again, it's harassment. But people are afraid to report those kind of things because they're afraid that they'll be laughed at, and people will tell them that it's no big deal. Why are you making such a big deal? And it can create such anxiety and stress that people can be forced to leave their job or change their careers. So it can be very damaging. And then victims are blamed and held accountable if they're assaulted, and they end up feeling either that they brought it on themselves or somehow they should have been able to prevent it. So, you know, I had opened up this discussion on my Facebook to see what people would say, and actually I did have somebody comment that, you know, that she had to really look at why this happened. Was it because of her own unconscious desire to be loved or just noticed? And my answer to that is no. There is nothing that you, if there is nothing that you do that creates this. If you're flirting with somebody, yes, but that's not an unwanted advance. So that's different. If you flirt with someone, they flirt back, that's different. But if somebody's making unwanted advances at you, or they're making you feel uncomfortable, putting you in a lower position than them, then it doesn't have to do with your unconscious desire to be loved. Or it what it has to do with, I believe, my opinion, is this systematic behavior. And I really believe that it has come from a way of keeping women, especially, in a lower position. Now, it could be on an individual basis that that particular perpetrator has a desire themselves to just puff themselves up and make themselves feel superior because of their own fragile ego. And yes, that is a big part of it. But I think systematically there is an acceptance of somehow keeping women out of these traditionally male jobs. Many of the jobs that the types of work that this happens to with women have typically been boys clubs. You know, they're old boys clubs. So women are breaking in and it feels threatening. And so by looking at women in the sexual way and making them feel uncomfortable by making sexual advances keeps women in a lesser position. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about abuse. Again, abuse is a much bigger, deeper topic, but harassment is much more widely spread. And the effect of it is over the years of being exposed to this harassment in the workplace, again and again and again, it becomes like a constant buzz in your ear, and it tends to wear women down and feel less confident in themselves, less able to do well at these higher positions in the workplace, and you know, has consequences emotionally. As I said, depression, anxiety, over time, it just, you know, you don't even know why you feel that way. And it was interesting because when the Me Too campaign came out, I was so surprised at the pushback that I saw on social media. There were several men who just did not like this at all. And I was more surprised, though, by women who didn't like it, said that women were reporting things that really didn't fit for sexual harassment, and that they were making too much of these issues. And you know, I really had to look back and think about why women would be complicit in this sexual harassment of other women. And part of it, and I don't think that it's necessarily conscious. I don't think that they think about it, but I think that there are a lot of women who get payoff from this. So if they're sexually harassed at work and they keep their mouth shut about it and they just take it and don't say anything, then there are women who might move up the ladder that way. You know, they're seen as women who are not troublemakers, and they will take whatever is given to them, and so they do better and better at their career. And so if with this Me Too campaign and with women coming out and talking about their harassment on the job, it sort of forces those women to look at themselves and realize that they, in fact, were part of the problem, that they allowed this to go on, and because they got benefit from it. So I think that that is one of the reasons why there's some pushback from women. And the pushback from men, I think it's pretty obvious that they're fearful that they may be considered one of these harassers. Or, you know, there was one man who told me that he had been falsely accused of sexual assault, and so now he really believes that everyone is lying. And my answer to that is there are false accusations of child abuse made to Child Protective Services. Would anybody ever consider not having Child Protective Services because of that? Would anybody ever consider not having a place for people to make reports about abuse? Of course there are going to be some false allegations, but that majority are not false. Okay, so I see that Laura has called in, so I'm going to bring her on the line and so we can have a conversation. Hey, Laura.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, so I've been talking about this topic of sexual harassment and how it's starting to come out into the light here in the U.S. and a lot of women coming out and speaking about sexual harassment in the workplace. And you're in Mexico, so what's it like down there?
It's very challenging to be a woman who owns her own business. And I've been in Mexico since 2002, so over 15 years, and I have a media production company, and I would show up for shoots, and, you know, I did everything by, you know, most everybody does everything by themselves. I'm not, you know, I'm not talking like a big film production or anything. And they would be like, well, where's the crew? Like, I am the crew. So it's still a very, you know, machismo type atmosphere that, you know, you're a woman, you own your own business, you own your own car, you have your own place to live, you know, you do all these things, and people kind of, you know, they're like, oh, you know, what's up with that? It's very difficult. And, you know, it's almost like sometimes they don't treat you as, you know, a real, I don't want to say real person, but like, you know, take you seriously as a business person because you're a woman.
Right, right. So, you know, one of the things that I was saying before you joined us is that sexual harassment, where, you know, men coming on to you or saying things in ways that can be taken in a very sexual way, the goal of that is really to knock you down and let you know who is in power. So, you know, I know that you're in your own business. You don't have a boss, but you do have these male clients who are kind of like your boss because they're the ones paying you.
Right.
Have you ever found them to do that kind of thing, to kind of knock you down by, you know, sort of making lewd comments or making you feel really uncomfortable?
No, because I have a pretty strong personality, And
okay.
If somebody says something, you know, I pretty much knock it down right then. I, you know, I'm past the point of deal, you know, taking it or dealing with it anymore.
Right.
Having worked in the television news business for over 15 years, that was a whole, you know, and I was a lot younger then. As you get older, you know, you don't care anymore. You know, and I kind of, you know, guys want to whistle at me when I walk down the street. I'm like, hey, I'm 50-something years old.
Right.
But, you know, I could see where, you know, years ago when I was in business, you know, working, it was a lot different.
And you were here in the U.S.
And, yeah.
What years were that covered?
The early 90s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, through the early zeros there. And
right.
Yeah. It could be really bad at some places.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot of the sexual harassment occurs in, you know, television, movies, and the entertainment industry. So did you find that it was really bad where you worked, where, you know, and men got away with it?
Some, yes, some places. You know, you were at the mercy, because it's a looks, let's face it, it's a looks-based business. And,
right.
You know, I had one news director who just completely got off on changing women's hair color.
Uh-huh.
You can't be a blonde anymore. I want you to, you know, and since the TV station had a barter thing with one of the local hair salons, you'd go in and they'd start putting, I'm like, what are you doing? They wouldn't even tell you. You know, and all of a sudden they'd be putting this different color on your hair and it'd be like, what are you doing? Well, your boss
right.
said that you need to be, and I'm like, wait a second. You know, so then you're sitting there, yeah, and you're fuming.
So you feel like it's an invasion of your body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, where they would criticize your clothing. I'm like, well, gosh, the guys wear suits every day. I mean, there's not much you can do to that. But, you know, you need to wear a sweater. Or you know, like, at the time, suits for women were still in, so...
Right.
I'm like, well, why do I need to wear that? First of all, if anybody's ever been in a television studio, you know you need a jacket.
Right. Right.
But why do
Very
I need
cool.
Why do I need to wear a sweater? Sweater. What the heck are those called? The cardigan and the sweater set. I'm like, I don't even own a sweater set. Second
uh-huh.
of all, I want to look like my grand. You know, I associate them with my grandmother. I'm like, what?
So. You know, one of the things I was saying is that in terms of sexual harassment in the law, that it's not just sexual lewd comment that can be taken as sexual harassment, but also, you know, if things are said in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that there were people there that said things to you in a particular way about how you dressed or how, you know, anything like that?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, there was just one
okay.
news, you know, and I had some news directors that were absolutely, you know, wonderful. You know, I mean, and if you can't, you know, and if you're on television every day and you can't look at yourself and say, oh my God, that looked absolutely terrible. I'm not going to wear that again. You know, to be able to do that, but you know, and having to work with different photographers and things like that. But I was thinking about this the other day. It's if two men can make the same comments,
mm-hmm.
but it can come across as two different, you know, in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
You know, like one guy, one person will say it, and you know, you'll just laugh it off or move on to the next thing. Then the other one, you're like, in the back of your mind, like, I think he really means that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it has to do, you know, with the person who's making the comment. They shouldn't make the
right.
comment at all, but where one guy would say it and it wouldn't offend you, and another guy would say it, a different guy could say the exact
mm-hmm.
same thing, and it would terribly right. offend you.
Exactly. It's the way that it's said. It looks like somebody else has called in. So let me see who that is and see if they have a question.
Okay.
So hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi there. Do you have a question?
No, no, not really. I was just listening to the show, and I'm very, it's very interesting because I'm like, oh, my God. I feel so convicted. Because, you know, I'm a woman, and I tend to be, you know, I'm a very friendly woman. So when I'm talking to my colleagues or the people that I'm working with, you know, they may say something, and I may validate it by placing my hand on their shoulder and say, yeah, you're right, you know. But when I'm hearing right now, it's like, oh, my God. You know,
okay.
I get across, you know, because you never know the paradigm or the thought process of the other individual. That's the thing. You never know what the other person has been going through or what they've gone through in their lives. So when I'm coming across just as being friendly, just being myself, it may register something completely different to them based on their thought process, based on their experiences that they've had in life. And I'm not really sure if I would be considered held responsible for how they respond to that, you know? And it really.
Yeah, you're
waking me up. You're really waking me up.
Yeah, okay. So I think that, and Laura, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, I do. I mean, you know when you're flirting. I don't flirt anymore, you know. I'm past all that. But, yeah, you know when you're doing it. But
right.
I think sometimes, you know, men will push it to see how far. That they can take it. But I'm going to throw another thing in here. Now, I have worked in a couple offices with all gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start, you know, like, oh, this is too much information for me. I'm going to go outside for a second. So that puts it on, that put a whole nother spin on it. It wasn't I was uncomfortable. I was just like, okay, I can't believe that we're talking about this right here, right now.
Right,
I would just eliminate, you know, it wasn't directed at me per se, but I'm like, whoa.
I think, you know, the basic issue with sexual harassment is that it's always about power. If you're in a position of power and you're doing something or saying something to make somebody else feel uncomfortable and let them know that you're above them and you can do whatever you want, that would be more sexual harassment. But
okay.
I think that it brings up a good point about touching and that sort of thing. I think that there needs to be more training on the job so that people know what is crossing the line and what isn't.
I agree.
So I think that would maybe alleviate some of your anxiety about whether or not you cross the line, is to have some training, have somebody there demonstrate the difference.
Mm-hmm. But see, and in Mexico is a very touchy culture. You know, you don't just shake hands, you give each other a kiss. You know, you're kissing somebody on the cheek. So you're already in somebody's space.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what you need to take that into account too. That would not be harassment because it's culture.
Exactly.
Right.
That takes like a little getting used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it feels weird when I'm here and I'm like, I want to hug somebody and give them a kiss. I'm like, oh, they don't do that here. So when I go to the States, it's completely different because it's the Mexican culture, very touchy society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's face it, when the man is a creep, the guy is a creep.
Right.
There's no sugarcoating that. And they're going to push it.
So, you know, I have a question for both of you, because this has happened to me. Have you been in situations where somebody said or did things that made you feel really uncomfortable? They felt like it was maybe a come on that you didn't want, or any sort of touching or anything like that, where you felt really afraid to say anything because it might mean that you would lose your job?
Yes, I lost two jobs.
For that?
In my very much younger days, because I didn't know. And my mom had never really worked in an office, so, you know, and I didn't talk to her about it because I didn't think she would understand. But
So you lost the jobs because you said something?
You know, I don't know how these people remember stuff 30 years ago, so I'm kind of reaching here.
Okay.
But it would be like, you know, he would flirt, and I would flirt back, but I'm like, I don't really mean this, but I don't want to, I can't even really remember. You know, I guess it got to the point where then he got mad because I wouldn't sleep with him. So,
okay, well, that would fit the criteria.
But, you know, being young and stupid, that's, you know, another thing.
Well,
so.
I don't know that it's young and stupid. I think it goes back to
lot meaner.
Well, not having the education about what to do if somebody does that and how to deal with it and having a place to go and report it.
Right.
Say, you know, this is what is, you know, being said or done to me and I don't like it.
You know, but the early mid-80s, nobody did that.
No, they didn't. And that's
how far back we're going here now. So
yeah, that's how far back I was in an office. I was a college student. I used to work in offices in the summer in New York. And that was just after those Mad Men days.
Yeah.
So, you know, people still sat and smoked cigarettes in the office. It was still, at that time, late 70s, early 80s. And you just didn't say anything. You didn't even know what to say or why you felt so weird.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think, from my personal experience, I think, you know, when we intuit and our gut lets us know that something is not in alignment with that which is good, we tend to discard it because we don't have anything to support it. So if we just go to the authorities and say, well, this wasn't feeling right, they're going to ask you, well, why was it not feeling right? Do you have anything to support, you know, your accusations? Do you have anything to, you know, to help you in what you're trying to say? And we didn't have that. I know, well, I was in the Marine Corps.
Okay. I was just going to bring that up because I evaluate veterans and a lot of it has to do with sexual abuse. So,
yeah, it's deep. It's very deep. It's very deep, you know, and we're taught, well, for me, I was working in an office of men and maybe two women, you know, just two of us. So even the casual conversations would be layered with sexual content. And because I was so young, I didn't know how to respond to how I was feeling. So I discarded it. I didn't say anything about it. I just got along, you know. I just tried to get along. But eventually, I got out.
Right.
Because of that. And not only that, I mean, it still carries over. You know, it's still the trauma of it still carries over because you put up with it for so many years or so many months that, you know, you have to, at some point, you got to find some way to heal, you know, and just nip it in the butt whenever it comes up. So that's why I'm like, okay, I don't want to touch anybody. I just want to make limited eye contact with them and keep it moving. you know, because you never know what a person, you never know what another person is going through or what they've been going through.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. And did you find in the Marines that if you would have said something that the repercussions for you would have been much worse?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been transferred to another unit. And not only that, you know, basically they would put a scarlet letter on you.
Mm-hmm.
Letting everybody know that, well, letting all the good guys know that you're not one of the few, okay?
Right.
You're an enemy. You're an enemy. So it makes it very hard for you to even advance, to move further
mm-hmm.
in any kind of growth that you want to have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I opt out. Yeah, I basically opt out. No,
mm-hmm. Right. So then it affects you. You have to leave your career in the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really what I talked about at the very beginning is that the effect of it is really economic for
mm-hmm.
women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it keeps the effect of it is keeping women out of powerful positions. With, you know, I see the military as a microcosm of our society. So whether it's in the military or out of the military, it keeps women in a disadvantage all the time.
Yeah.
So whether you say something and, you know, it comes back at you as being your fault or you're labeled, or if you don't say something and it just chips away at your confidence, and
yeah.
eventually, you know, you leave. In one way or another, it affects you. Yeah. So the effects of it are pretty deep.
Yeah.
I think you guys bring up some good points. You know, I'm on LinkedIn, you know, social media, but it's really more business networking. It's not like Facebook or Instagram where people are socializing. So a couple of months ago, a woman on, and I rely on that a lot. I get a lot of my guests here for the radio show from LinkedIn. You know, you meet business people there who have something interesting, and I invite them to be on the program. There's a woman who is a connection with mine, and she, most of her business is online. So she really relies on LinkedIn a lot to promote her business. And she posted that she had been holding this in for a long time but felt like she needed to say it, that she was leaving LinkedIn because of all of the messages that she was receiving from men that were harassing.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A bunch of us jumped in and said, please don't leave. you know, block those guys, and if they say anything really outrageous, report them, but don't leave because you're hurting yourself, and we all need each other. There's strength in numbers. And it wasn't very long after that I started receiving harassing messages. Now, it's much easier on something like LinkedIn because I have the power of the delete button. I can, you know, I could block people, right? But my thought is that, you know, the internet is the new office environment. So,
mm-hmm.
so the sexual harassment that happens in the office is now happening on the internet.
Yeah, but what is the positive thing about the internet is that you always have that choice to delete and nothing
exactly.
comes, you know, whereas when you're in a working environment, you're in the public eye.
Absolutely.
You can delete all you want to. Yeah, and you're going to deal with the consequences of it. It's part of the nature of the game, you know.
Exactly. No,
yeah.
I absolutely agree. But it was very interesting that it had even infiltrated this, which I thought LinkedIn was a really safe place to be. It's just a bunch of business people exchanging their information, you know. And the people that mm-hmm. had actually sent me these harassing email messages were like people who had, we had mutual connections, like in the hundreds of mutual connections, and they had this very nice looking business resume, so you just wouldn't expect it, you know.
Oh,
so
wow.
But it was interesting because I was like, wow, that's just
you know, the only way, the first of all, a woman must know her own power. We must
mm-hmm.
know who we are from a powerful, you know, from a spiritual,
mm-hmm.
divine perspective first off. And we must understand that when we deal with this type of behavior, it is coming from a space of fear. They are afraid. They are
mm-hmm.
afraid of us. At
mm-hmm.
the end of the day, they are afraid of us. So if we can flip it and let them know, be, you know, just say to them, I'm thankful that you brought this experience to me, but I no longer need this experience because it no longer serves me anymore. So therefore,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to delete based on my free will and my choice, and delete them. Have a good day. That's
right.
That way, you leave the space not feeling a certain kind of way. You leave the space with your power and more. Versus
absolutely
leaving the space like, damn, somebody just violated me. You know,
mm-hmm.
like he took something from you, like he took your bicycle from you. No.
It always comes back to us. It always comes back to us. And as I said at the beginning, is that nobody can imprison your spirit.
Exactly.
So, you know, so it always comes back to us as individuals going
mm-hmm.
inside and knowing how powerful we are. And that's what really gives us the power and the strength to be able to deal with it in a, you know, to respond to it and
mm-hmm.
even to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think, you know, now that it is in the light, thankfully, it is easier to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, everybody can record everybody on their phone now. So, you know, you have
to. There you go.
I mean, let's face it. It's, you know, oh, well, they get a photo of that. They got video of that. They got a recording of this. And it's all,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think, you know, you were saying it was a fear. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, no confidence or their, I couldn't think of the other word I was going to use. But, you know, why does, you know, when you meet somebody in an, you know, why does everything out of their mouth have to be a sexual innuendo? What, I just, that part I don't understand.
Right. Well, ladies, I've just got the signal that we're going on to the next segment. We've talked quite a bit. But I really want to thank you. I really appreciate you, Laura and caller, for calling in and giving your experiences. This is a really important topic, and you, I love your contributions to it. So
thank you.
We will continue. We'll continue at another point. And in a moment, we're going to hear the music from a very powerful woman, Betty Navas, who is a musician, a lead guitarist out in Los Angeles, California. So that should help
Fabulous.
This conversation. All right. Well, thank you
okay.
both.
Thank
Have
you.
A good evening. All right.
You too, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. On that note, we are going to enjoy the beautiful music of our next guest, the very powerful and successful woman, and lead guitarist Betty Navas. So don't go anywhere.
close my eyes, sit back in a chair and realize that everything is beautiful. The life I have is wonderful, and everything I went through was worthwhile. Anything is possible. Spirit is invincible. Each day has a miracle. Each day is lightning. Lightning.
Each day
is lightning. I could dream the wildest dream I ever could conceive. An image that is plausible. If nothing is impossible, and keep it on my mind till I can see. Anything is possible. Spirit is invincible. Each day has a miracle. Each day is lightning. Each day is lightning.
Each day.
Each day is lightning. Everything you say and everything you do bounces like a mirror, reflecting back at you. And inside there is something bigger than yourself. Everything's connected, you're not just in a shell.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and live stream and podcast to drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the music of our next guest who's joining us on the phone from Los Angeles, California, musician Betty Navas. Good evening, Betty.
Hello. Hi.
How
good
are
evening.
You?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
So,
and thank you so much for playing.
Yeah. Is that one of your new songs?
Yes, it is. I have been experimenting with more synth sounds and electronica, but I, you know, still like to mix the guitar in there, so you did hear some electric guitar sounds in there also.
And that one was Each Day, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
the name of it?
Yes. That's the name
okay.
of the song, Each Day.
So Betty, what have you been up to since you've been on the program? It's been a while.
Yes, and like I had mentioned, I had been writing electronica. I'm also working as a guitar player with a couple of tributes. I will be playing with an all-female Led Zeppelin tribute called Fem Zeppelin. So
wow.
I thought I'd mention that. Yeah, I'm going to be playing all the fun guitar parts.
Great.
And I'm also, yeah. We've been rehearsing. We're getting ready to do some shows within, I would say, a couple months.
What's the name of the group?
Fem Zeppelin, F-E-M Zeppelin. It's an all-female tribute to Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, so it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah,
especially
since that's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. So I've been writing and working with several projects. I you know, I do, as a guitar player, I'm always playing in different things. So I did an 80s tribute, a heavy metal tribute, and then I also did a new wave tribute. So it was like completely different genres. And I've been writing music in completely different genres. I had just finished some instrumental music, which is now on a documentary called My Friend Raymond.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's an indie documentary, and it's a very interesting, it's got a very interesting subject. It's called My Friend Raymond, and it's now on a website called PureFlix, which is another website. It's similar to Netflix, except PureFlix is more, has more films that are family-based,
mm-hmm.
Christian-based, those kinds of things.
Right.
My Friend Raymond is a documentary about a disabled man who was he was disabled as a child. Like, he had a tragic accident happen to him. But even though in the face of the accident and in the face of other hardships he's had, he's always been able to maintain a positive attitude and live life faithfully. So that story is very inspiring. And I had written a song some time back called See Through the Dark. Frankie, who is the director, used the instrumental version of it. So it's just a piano version, and he put it towards the end of his documentary. But his documentary has been doing very well, and he'd had it in several festivals, and he won an award. The documentary won an award for most inspirational documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The international, it's like a film festival for Christian films.
Uh-huh.
And so it won that award for most inspirational documentary of 2017.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are hearing your music.
Yes, I'm very grateful for that, because I have been writing songs for him for quite some time, because he's like an indie filmmaker, and he does a lot of things on his own, just entirely with his own budget, on his own camera, just goes out there, and he'll ask me for music, and I'll send it to him, and he'll use it however he sees fit. This
mm-hmm.
last documentary has been the one that's really been doing very, very well, like, as far as getting into many festivals and winning an award and doing very well. And now it's on PureFlix, which I think should be available now, because if I remember right, he did make the agreement, I think about 4 months ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that and working in the tribute scene, just as a guitar player, working and writing songs.
Uh-huh.
So that's what
I've
been
up to.
And
do you have any? And you have some new CDs out, or a new CD out with these new songs you sent us?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm compiling because I've been writing differently. I'm compiling the material, and.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to work out some licensing, which I've already been approached for that, but I have not worked out like a solidified deal yet. So I'm working
okay.
on that. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of, you know, in a sense, I've already been licensing my music with my friend who's an indie documentary filmmaker, but
mm-hmm.
There are other things I'd like to license my songs to.
Right.
But yeah, I have been compiling material. I have other songs that you have. You have another song called Can't Get Away and another song called Own It. And it's very much going in a more pop direction. And it just sort of naturally occurred as I'm writing. I end up getting different ideas.
Right.
You know, aside from being a guitar player, I do play some piano, and I do have a keyboard, and I write on that. And
uh-huh.
I've been writing at the keyboard for for a while, some years back, I had written a song for a play. And the play was produced and shown here in L.A., but I wrote that entirely on piano. And mm-hmm. I went to the studio and recorded it, and they would play the song every night before the play opened. So I'd already been, you know, doing things like that, and now I'm, like, expanding more on it. I feel mm-hmm. like the more instruments I can write on, the more expansive I could get to.
Sure. So Betty, we're going to play one of those songs, Can't Get Away. Mm-hmm. Before we play it, can you tell us about it?
Yes. The song it's inspired by the idea of being obsessed with something. I myself can get into a little bit of an obsessive state. So, for example, if I'm working on a song or I'm researching something,
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, move from my chair until I, you know, until, uh-huh. like, hours go by. And, you know, I will do that. And I find that whole idea of being really fixated on something to be fascinating.
Okay.
So Can't Get Away, I just came up with this theme of not being able to let go of something. And
mm-hmm.
And I wrote it around that. But it's sort of, I tend to write about things that I think about and that I reflect upon. And that's
okay.
something that I reflected upon in myself.
Okay. So don't go anywhere. Stand by. We're going to play that song, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Okay?
Sure.
Thank
All
you.
All
right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it feels and anywhere that you'll be, you can't get away from my love. I just want to be everything that you want. I'm the one who knows every secret you got. I'll never let go, you always get you with me. Cause you can't get away from my love.
Your sound definitely is different than it was. You know, Art mentioned to me that it sounded like you had a lot of rhythm of Colombian sound.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that. I'm Colombian. And I tend to gravitate towards rhythmic, beat-driven music.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. But I have a wide variety of music that I listen to. Like I listen to everything just about, because I can appreciate the musicianship and the sounds and things like that. And as I'm experimenting, I actually wrote that one originally on guitar first, but I wrote it just as a rhythm track. And then as I'm adding synths and experimenting, then that's how it expanded to that. You know, but I did sit down and originally write that on the guitar, but it was just a funk rhythm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I love, you know, funky beat-driven music. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how
mm-hmm.
it started. All the synths came later, and I would experiment with, I have a software program called Logic, and I experiment with the different plugins. So even if I'm just laying down synth chords, you put on a plugin and the plugin will create a delayed effect. So that's,
uh-huh.
that's some of the sounds you're hearing. And so I just kept it. I just thought it was very fun to do. I have a lot of tracks on that one. I was
mm-hmm.
going to mention the song before, the first one.
Yes.
And that,
uh-huh.
that's also very synth. That song was particularly synth-driven, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so as far as with that song, that was more synth-driven. This one was actually guitar-driven, even though you don't really hear that much guitar on it, because the guitar was really just a rhythm track first.
Right.
So.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So Betty, are you performing outside of LA? Are you coming back to Texas at all?
I really want to. I will, as time goes and I figure out like what project. I've been in more projects than I thought I was going to be. I kind of like being in one project and then expanding on that, but.
Uh-huh.
I ended up being in several projects temporarily. So I do hope that with these, at least with these tributes, that I could branch out and play, go on the road again and play out around the United States like I did before.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, let us know when you're coming back to Texas. Okay.
I love Texas. And I did hear about today's recent tragedy, and I just wanted
yeah.
to extend my condolences. I absolutely love Texas. I love
mm-hmm.
being there. I love the people. You know, it's a great place.
Mm-hmm. So Betty, if people are interested in finding out where you're playing or listening to your
yes.
music, how
yes.
can they do that?
Okay, you can find me on Reverb Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Reverb Nation is a platform for independent musical artists like myself. You can find me under Betty Navas. Everything is on there. All the music's on there. Everything I've uploaded, everything I've done is all on there, including where I'm going to be playing, who I'm working with. So all that info is on there. If you Google me, you could find me on there also, because my name will come up and it'll say musical artist. It'll have my iTunes link. It'll have my Facebook link and my Facebook page link, as well as Reverb Nation link.
Okay, great. So I will post that link on my web post later this evening, and then people can just go there and click on it.
That's right. And you can also find me on Instagram.
Instagram?
I am new to Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm new to Instagram. And I absolutely love it. I love being able to post photos, and I love seeing other people's photos. I'm new to Instagram, and I've been posting photos of when I did a European tour some time back. And I don't know if I'd ever mentioned this on the show, but I worked on a cruise ship playing with in a production show called Legends in Concert, and I was
uh-huh.
in the band. And we were in Europe for 7 months. We were in France, Italy, and Spain. And I took a lot of great pictures.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm going to have to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, find me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Got some great photos on there. And I'll be posting photos of the tributes that I'm going to be working with.
Great. So, So, Betty, before we go off the air, after I tell everybody what's happening in the next couple of weeks, we're going to play the last song that you sent us called Own It. So before you and I stop, why don't you tell me about Own It?
Oh, yes. I got the idea to write Own It based on a conversation I was having with keyboard player Steven Dudigian. He was talking about going out on an audition, and I said, well, when you go to that audition, just walk in there like you own the gig. And just somehow, like, own it, you know? And so that's basically where I got the idea to write the song, Own It. And I thought about the idea of owning, you know, own it, you know, like own that you've got this. You're good.
Right.
You've got this. So I wanted to write an upbeat, positive song. You know, one thing I love to do is, like, let's say I work out at the gym, you know, and I love to put on some upbeat, positive, inspirational music to listen to. That's what I listen to when I work out. So I wanted to, I want to write music that would inspire me to work out or to do something uplifting, you know, uplift, you know,
yeah,
inspire, uplift. Yeah, motivational.
Awesome. Well, Betty, we're going to play that on the way out, but thank you so much for coming back on the program. And I look forward to seeing you when you're here in Texas and listening to more of your music.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, you have a good evening.
You too, and thanks again.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you.
Good night. Okay.
Good night.
All right. So before we go off the air and before we play that music, let me let you all know what's happening in the next couple of weeks. So next Sunday, November 12th, is Veterans Day weekend. So we'll be playing an encore presentation of my interview with Jihan Baraka on the paradox of being and becoming. And then the following Sunday, we'll be back live from Austin with Rob Bobbion, Director of Marketing and Communications of Age of Central Texas, to talk about AGE, the best caregiver resource center in Central Texas. And he'll be with us live in the Austin studio, and that should be fun. He's also an entertainer, so it'll be interesting. And Laura Galzunas will be back again, and this time she'll be in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to report in about what the retirement community is up to as the winter visitors come back. And we always have an artist or a musician, and I don't know who it is yet, but we'll be playing some music. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, listen to previous programs, get the website links that we talked about on the program, or read my blogs in Huffington Post or Thrive Global, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and the other Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel, about my upcoming book. And if you want to contact me again, you can email me, drmara@drmarakarpel.com, or call me at 512-626-me through my website. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Laura Galazunas, Betty Navas, and our caller. Thank you to the caller for contributing to the discussion earlier. And, of course, thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. And here's some more of Betty Navas.
attention. It's tucked away and hidden from sight. You look into the eyes in a mirror. You're not the girl that you used to be. You've come so far, a one in a million. To hear you say each word to the beat. I will own it. I will show it. I just know it. Cause I own it. Cause I own it. You can do what you want to, and nothing's gonna get in the way. You've waited for the moment to be right, so here it is, and now you can say, I will own it.
I will own it.
I will show it.
I will show it.
I just know it.
I just know it.
Cause I own it. Cause I own it. I will own it.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.